It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and with me is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, you ready to talk some Elijah Moore today, man?
We're getting to the point now where we've talked about, you know, Chase and Bateman and Devonta Smith, and now we're getting to the point where it's like a lot of moving parts of like where people are ranking these receivers from. Like, we haven't talked about Waddle yet. I think a lot of people have Waddle at the top four, but then it's like 5 through 8 to 10. Like, it's a lot of moving parts, and Elijah Moore, Rondo Moore, these guys are all part of that tier, I think.
This is really where the prospect work starts right now. Like, all of these guys that are in this range, and what do we see? What kind of skills do they have? And that's why we had to get this guy up in the building. We had to get Pat Crane back on the show. I mean, I reached out to him through DMs, and I said, who you want to talk about, man? He said, the Moores. That was the entirety of who you wanted to speak about, man. If you're not following Pat, you got to be checking out his fantastic work. Follow him on Twitter, at Pat Crane. Yeah, all of his awesome work is over at ETR. Pat, what's going on, man?
Not too much. Yeah, we just talked about Rondale Moore. Going to get into Elijah Moore here. Elijah Moore is an interesting prospect, I think, because I don't know that anyone's going to get that excited about him, but maybe we should be. He's definitely not going to be, you know, the most exciting profile. There's going to be a bunch of flashier guys in this draft, but he does check a lot of boxes. So he's like one of these guys that I think even like I'm going to be talking myself into a little bit when we're in rookie drafts, but definitely excited to get your guys' thoughts on him, because I don't know. It's just like one of these dudes. Every year, it seems like there's a guy that we all think we should like more than we do. And I wonder if this year it's going to be Elijah Moore.
He's really interesting, man. And I mean, let's just kind of lean into this. I mean, Elijah Moore is standing at 5'9", 185, coming out of Ole Miss. College Dominator is 91st percentile. You look at his yards per reception. He was used out of the slot a lot. A lot of design screens sitting at 13.3, so 29th percentile. The big box that he checks as well is his target share. I mean, 35% was 96th percentile, and the breakout age is fantastic at 19.4. So he's checking a ton of production boxes. And if you just go season by season, I mean, the guy was really, really productive. Over 850 receiving yards in 2019, bumped that up this last season to over 1,100 yards at a 30% target share this last season. I mean, Pat, I know walking into this that he was going to be a guy you were going to want to love because of all the boxes he checks. What are the big ones for you that stand out that make you interested in Elijah Moore?
He doesn't turn 21 until April, so he's going to play his entire rookie season at 21, which is always great to see. He's declaring as a true junior, only spent 3 years in college, which is great. And then he broke out as a true sophomore with 37% of yards, 55% of their touchdowns, 45% dominator rating. He had only 67 receptions for 850 yards and 6 touchdowns in 12 games. So you could go, okay, well, maybe, you know, driven by a low volume offense and wasn't actually as big of a kind of a dominator as those percentages would indicate. But then came back the following year, had 86 for almost 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns in 8 games in 2020. And that was for a 36% dominator rating. So, you know, pick your breakout, because he did it twice. He has a 29% career market share of yards, which is a really strong number for a guy who did not play his senior season and declared early. And that's over 29 career games. So we talked about with Rondale Moore, you know, he also has really strong career market share, but we don't have the biggest sample size there. With Elijah, we do. He was excellent in a big sample, finished really strong with a 42% market share yards, again, at less than 21 years old. Finished his college career at 20 with an awesome market share of yards. Looking at John Moore's Phenom Index, which uses those two, he's a huge standout. So those are really the things that jump out to me in terms of the production. And then I'll also say yards per route run. He was excellent in yards per route run, peaking in 2020 with a 3.85 yards per route run. The rest of his team combined for below 1.5. So just very, very clearly the best option on his team. So in addition to having the entire offense running through him, the entire passing offense running through him, He was extremely efficient on a per route basis. So really checking with big checks those production boxes that we want to see and entering the NFL at the right time.
Adam, what stood out to you? Because I'm with Pat on a lot of these different boxes, and I want to add a little bit on top after you kind of tell me, what did you love? What stood out? What was shiny to you?
Yeah, so you mentioned the target share. That's something we obviously love to see. We talk about that all the time. But I like how we talked about it with Rondale Moore, how, you know, at Purdue, he was primarily used in the intermediate range and on screens and everything. Elijah Moore was, again, similarly, like, in the slot a ton, but he was used a lot more deep down the field. He was used kind of everywhere, right? He wasn't an outside receiver and didn't play a lot against man coverage or anything, but he had a ton of yardage off screens, a ton of yardage off deep receptions, a ton of yardage in the slot. Like, he was top 10 in all those categories in college football last year, so he made plays wherever he was lined up and not just, you know, in the intermediate. Like, it was, you know, from 10 yards out, from 20 yards out, from 20-plus yards out. Like, he was a factor for his offense. So I think that's really encouraging for me to see. There are some potential red flags we'll talk about, like the fact that he didn't play a lot against press coverage and the size, but I liked that, the fact that he was, although he was primarily a slot receiver, he didn't just play on, you know, short yardage or screens or anything like that. He was used and made plays deep down the field as well.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely jumped out to me because, I mean, we just talked about Rondale Moore. That's one of the big differentiating factors between these two guys is we saw a lot of slot time, but Elijah was used deep down the field as well as, I mean, the dude was tied for fifth in the most contested catches in the class. So I think that we're looking at usage patterns and stuff like that. Not only was he the number one in the offense, he wasn't getting just design screens. Now, he did get a lot of them. I'm not going to say that he didn't, because he also was pretty high up. Like, he was tied for sixth in screen catches. So I think there was just more variance in how he was used at Ole Miss than we saw for somebody else like Rondale Moore, who was like, okay, near the line of scrimmage, here you go. Boom, 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 boom. So for all the volume that we saw for Elijah, it came in a very, very different fashion. Pat, what did you see? Did you see, like, explosiveness, like, strengths-wise for Elisha? Like, did he jump out at you in any other ways, like, as far as, like, skill-wise, like, tackle-breaking ability, anything else that he checks there?
I don't think he's going to end up being that explosive. Like, or at least, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he was 4-5 or slower. But I don't really care about that, because I think he is going to be a slot wide receiver at the NFL level. I think he's going to be a guy that gets open a lot, you know, and is consistently getting open. He had really good hands in college, so he does kind of just fit that classic mold of PFF had him with only two drops in 2020. So one of these kind of classic, reliable slot wide receivers who's going to get open pretty easily, I think, is what I see. I don't know that he's really going to be awesome with the ball in his hands, frankly. He had 21 career rushes. That went for 71 yards, no touchdowns, 3.4 yards per carry. So not a dynamic college rusher. He had 12 career kick returns, 8.5 average there, never scored a kick return touchdown. 27 punt returns, 4.9 average on those, never scored a touchdown. So there are some red flags, actually, of like, is this dude much of a yards after the catch guy? But he had a lot of yards as a wide receiver. So I think he might not be a great yards after catch guy, but he might be a guy that's going to be able to get open easily and just kind of dominate in the middle of the field. So he's probably not the most exciting prospect. And this is what I was saying as we were getting into it. Like, he's never probably going to be the most exciting guy on the board when you're picking, but being able to get open and earn that target in the first place is a pretty underrated skill. So I'm excited about what I'm seeing with the production measurables and the yards per route run. That all points to a dude who's able to get open, and I think that translates pretty well to the NFL level.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, kind of going from his strengths to a little bit of his weaknesses and stuff like that, considering what – if you look at just the numbers he put up on the page, I mean, the guy had – he was tied for the sixth most missed tackles force. But there's a little bit of noise here because, yes, so you could look at that one box and say, okay, well, the guy is creating and stuff like that, but then he's 69th in yards after the catch per reception. So some of these things, it's like, okay, was he used a lot like we're talking about on screen? So some of these short area passes and the volume related to that, does it pump up some of the metrics in a way where you're like, okay, and you turn on the film. I mean, that was one of the first things that I've written down. Like, I was like, okay, I'm looking for this. Does he have the tackle breaking ability? And I really didn't see that. So it's good for me, like, to hear, like, that some of those things kind of marry together, because there are things that if people go looking at singular boxes and they're saying, okay, did he force miss tackles? Okay, yes, cool. But he didn't do these other two different things that also kind of translate as well. And you group these things together to say, okay, can this guy be a dynamic playmaker after the catch with the ball in his hands? I don't really see that. I think that, like you're talking about, Pat, I think that because of his ability to get open, could he be a volume guy at the next level? Yes, I think that that is definitely in his range of outcomes. But like we're talking about previously with somebody like Rondale Moore, I don't know if we're going to see this guy that outside of volume and stuff, that if he's really going to give us a lot of high-end weeks that's not volume related, like can he break a long one for outside of getting separation and catching a long one? But like, is he going to be a guy that could take a screen and go 30 to 40 yards with it? I won't see that in his bag of tricks. But Adam, am I wrong here?
No, I didn't really see a ton of like massive explosiveness either. Once he has the ball in his hands, but like Pat alluded to, like he just gets open. I think when I watched him, he was a player that I looked at and I said, okay, he just knows how to get open again, especially against zone coverage. Like he got behind zones and mm-hmm. knew like when to sit in the middle of the zone or when to keep running. Like he had really good spatial awareness against zone coverage. I think that's where he's going to win a lot. And he also is a good route runner. Like there was a couple of times I watched him where he hit a corner with a disgusting double move and beat him. And that's where he got a lot of his big plays off of. So like, just kind of like a savvy route runner, knows how to get open, especially in the zone. That'll help him, you know, and that helps with the yards per route run and stuff like that. But in terms of like, you know, throw him a slant, Odell Beckham style, and let him go 70 yards to the house, I don't know if we're going to see that a lot from Elijah Moore, which kind of all ties in with what Pat was alluding to. Like he's not the most exciting prospect at receiver in this class when you have, you know, a Ja'Marr Chase who just, you know, at 19 years old won against elite competition, and Devontae Smith who won the Heisman, and Jalen Waddle who just all he does is make big plays, and Rondale Moore who's crazy after the catch, and Kadarius Toney who's crazy after. So it's like, that's kind of why he's kind of falling into this middle ground where it's like, okay, he's good, but is he as exciting as these other prospects? And that can be good for a lot of people in Dynasty because people just might not be excited about him. But at the end of the day, Elijah Moore is still a good football player and he'll probably get drafted somewhere in the second, third round.
And I actually like this. So kind of walking into, I'm kind of curious. I don't think that he tests amazingly well. And we're talking about like, does that matter overall? Like if he runs a 4.5 and what that means for wide receivers, is that the end all be all or the death knell? No, but on a guy that we're talking about that's on the smaller side, could that mean the difference between him making it into the second round or him going in the freaking fourth round? Like, I think that putting all of this together, I think that he's going to be a guy that could be a great value in your dynasty drafts based off of his production and all the boxes he's checking there. But I'm wondering, considering what he's going to do testing-wise and overall how NFL teams view him, if he's a guy that slides to the fourth round, and if we're wanting a high-volume role, some other things are going to need to break right for that to happen for Elijah Moore. So, I mean, Pat, what are your thoughts there? Do you see a world where Elijah Moore could go in the second round? Because I really think he's more of a third or fourth round guy for me.
Well, I'm seeing him, like, you know, looking at various rankings and stuff, trying to gauge where he's expected to go in the NFL draft. I mean, it looks to me like he's in the second round conversation.
Really?
And that the fourth round would be, you know, a bit, he'd probably have to test pretty poorly, I think, to slip to the fourth round. It's harder to say than this year than it would normally be just because we didn't have a normal college season. And so I assume that it's going to be one of the least accurate years for all of these various rankings and stuff. But like ESPN has him at 37th overall in the class.
Okay.
PFF has him top 30. So I don't know, like if he fell all the way to the fourth round, I'd be pretty surprised actually. I think he strikes me as like a late second rounder type, or in the, you know, early to mid third. because he does look like he's going to be able to get open. He's reliable. He does what he's supposed to do. If you're looking for, you know, that type of player, like, he is a very strong option. And this is a pretty strong wide receiver class. So I'm assuming that there are a fair amount of wide receivers selected in the first three rounds. If there's only a couple, he wouldn't be one of them. But I think they'll, you know, there'll probably be a decent amount of wide receivers selected because, like I said, I think it's pretty a strong class.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the range for me was like second to fourth round. I think he probably falls somewhere in the third, if I'm trying to project out right now, just looking at where he goes. What's your range of comps for him? Like, what do you see at the next level for him? And where, what kind of landing spots would you like for him, Pat? Or where could you see him going?
In terms of, like, comps, the guy that he reminds me of, and partly why I'm actually excited about him, is I think he's kind of a Jameson Crowder type of play. And that's, you know, just based on, well, you know, Jameson Crowder came in 5'8", 185. That's Moore's probably going to be like 5'9", 195. Jameson Crowder was actually a fourth-round pick. But very productive in college. He had almost a 30% career market share, right there with Moore. So pretty similar, and Crowder actually didn't come out early. So I think Moore is a bit of a stronger prospect, but obviously Crowder hit a very strong part of his range of outcomes as a prospect. So that is kind of, I think, in some ways an upside comp for Moore. But that's the type of play that I think you're going for, like a guy who you're like, probably getting for pretty close to free in Dynasty. Like, once you get into those late second round, early third round type of picks, which I think Moore ultimately may end up falling to. I got him at 212 in a super flex mock draft I'm doing. I could see him falling even a little further as we get, you know, some draft position coming in for guys. And if, again, he's not going to be the flashiest. So it's always going to be easy to sort of, if you're between him and Moore, there might be three guys between someone else and Moore, and then they all take the other guy, and he falls, you know, an extra three spots. So he's a dude that I think will probably end up being a value in most drafts, and you're going to get more production out of than you have a real right to based on the draft capital it requires to select him.
Yeah, I like that call. Adam, what did you see when you watched Elijah Moore?
For me, I think his like high end comp would be Emmanuel Sanders. I think they both had similar breakout ages, similar college target shares. The dominator rating definitely in favor of Elijah Moore, but like just that player that Emmanuel Sanders, if you watch him for the majority of his career, it's like there's a couple plays. Everybody has a couple plays where they just wow you. But Sanders has kind of been like that old reliable player, right? Out of the slot. But I think Sanders is a player that can still play out wide. He's you know, he's just a really smart route runner. That's how I view Elijah Moore, just a really smart route runner that allow him to get open. Pretty sure Manny Sanders came out with a massive 40 yard, like a 4.4 40 yard dash.
4.4, 39.5 inch vert, 6.6.
Yeah. I don't think from a physical or athletic standpoint Elijah Moore is going to be right there, but in terms of like how he wins and how he gets open, I see similarities there. And then I do like the Jameson Crowder was kind of on my radar too, just because Jameson Crowder, similar way he gets open and opposite of Emmanuel Sanders, not the most, you know, athletic, you know, fastest, explosive player. And we kind of talked about how Elijah Moore isn't that among the receivers in this draft class.
Yeah. And the guy he reminded me of, and we got to put usage aside, okay? Because this head coach does a lot of dumb shit on the regular, okay? But we're talking about draft capital, and I think similar-ish possible testing numbers. The guy that he reminded me of is Anthony Miller. That was the number that, like, the guy that jumped out to me. Ran a 4.5, hit some different boxes as far as college production, was over the 80th percentile as far as target share and dominator, lagged in breakout age. But we're looking at a guy who was still a second-round pick in the NFL, ran a 4.5, he's 5'11", around 200 pounds. If Elijah Moore is going to be in that similar range. But yeah, like Anthony Miller is the guy that I kind of see in my mind's eye whenever I'm looking and watching Elijah Moore. The other guy that could have jumped out to me, and maybe I'm just staying on the Moore train, was a guy that was able to play a little bit outside, walked into some good volume years. And I'm gonna turn back the clock a little bit here. But Lance Moore was also a guy similar size, had some spike years that I think if we're talking about Elijah Moore, if he lands in the right spot, fantasy points ain't got to be sexy, man. You can score them in a lot of different ways. But thoughts there, Pat. What do you think about that? Like, and to get this volume, what team does he have to go to for you?
Yeah, I like that. I like both those comps. I like the Sanders comp a lot. Kind of to the Sanders comp, because we talked about, you know, Sanders is actually an incredible athlete coming out. If Moore tests a little bit poorly compared to Sanders, he might look more like Rashard Higgins. He had a 4.56 coming out, 32.5-inch vertical, 7.19, 3-cone. So kind of the productive but not very athletic guy. And then Isaiah Ford is another kind of downside guy I throw out there, as like a guy that looked like maybe he could be something in terms of the production, but hasn't really turned into anything. Although he was, I believe, a 7th-round pick. So we should get more draft position than we got out of Ford. And even Higgins was only a 5th-round pick. So with Moore, we're looking at maybe a similar profile to a guy like Higgins if he doesn't end up testing that well. But I do think that he should be a day 2 pick. That would be my bet right now. So, I think the Lance Moore comp is really interesting too, because kind of another classic slot wide receiver, but very good fantasy asset. And who knows what Anthony Miller would have done with better quarterback play and coaching.
And a decent coach, and then he's actually going to let him play, like, be on the field? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like, let's just burn second-round picks. Let's just go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Well, the landing spots that I was looking at are a lot of the same ones that I was looking at for Rondale Moore, because I'm, you know, looking at guys that are going to be probably playing primarily out of the slot. I feel even more confident that Elijah Moore will be playing out of the slot than Rondale Moore. And I think Elijah Moore is not quite as versatile as Rondale Moore, who, you know, both guys are pretty similar in terms of their height and weight, but pretty different types of players, really. And as I mentioned with Elijah Moore, I don't think he's quite as dynamic with the ball in his hands. You talked about the yards after catch numbers not being there. So want to be in a system that really needs and kind of relies on the slot wide receiver. Would say the Saints, the Cardinals, I think the Steelers, talked about Buffalo last time. I think that would be interesting as well here. But a team I didn't
already locked in on Rondale. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin that. So let's say no Buffalo. Rondale's got to go there. But one team I didn't mention last time is the Falcons. I think they'd be pretty interesting for Elijah Moore. Russell Gage is a free agent after the 2021 season. Eventually, you know, this is a team that's going to be relying less and less on Julio. So there's going to be opportunity opening up for other guys. Long-term could kind of form a duo with Calvin Ridley. Quarterback play should be pretty stable, and it's a team that's utilized the slot wide receiver pretty heavily, pretty regularly. So that seems like the type of fit that would be interesting, I think, where he's just going to get open. He's going to be a guy that's going to be nice and reliable. I would say even the second round pick they spent on Jefferson kind of ruins everything, but you know, you could see on the Rams, he sort of fit in with just a dude who gets open. He'd be interesting in that system too.
Adam, where do you see Elijah going?
Yeah, like Pat said, it's very similar. I'll add a team we didn't talk about, the Chiefs. There's going to be multiple spots where they can take a receiver. Obviously, they're going to be moving off from Sammy Watkins. DeMarcus Robinson's, you know, just a guy. And then they just won't fully unleash Mecole Hardman. So they'll probably be in the market for another wide receiver. Everybody's salivating over the idea of Rondale Moore there, or Kadarius Toney, or one of these like crazy yak guys who can just dominate after the catch. But like, they're going to have opportunities in the second, third, fourth round or whatever to take Elijah Moore and just get, like Pat said, this a really safe wide out. And when you have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill still, like, you don't need a game breaker. It helps. It makes that offense even more dynamic, but you don't need necessarily a guy that's going to go out and, you know, catch one pass and maybe it goes for 60 yards and a score. Like, I think Elijah Moore would give them solid consistency, which they low-key haven't had because Watkins has been hurt for so long since he's been there. And Mecole's been up and down and primarily on special teams for a lot of games. And DeMarcus Robinson's been, like you said, nothing really special either. So I think that team makes sense too.
So the ones that kind of jumped out to me, Miami was really curious because they don't have a guy with his kind of archetype, at least on the team. I mean, they got Parker, they got Preston. I mean, as a guy that can get open and get separation and be a good underneath target, if they do decide to sit there and add some stuff around Tua, he's interesting to me there.
They need to give Tua easy reads, man. They really do.
And we're talking about a guy that might not be the flashiest guy, but he could pile up easy receptions. I think Miami makes some sense, as well as just going down the team list here. A team we haven't discussed a whole lot, and it'd be really, really curious considering any kind of haul of picks they get back in a possible trade. But even Houston makes some sense to me. I mean, look, like Will Fuller's probably not going to be back there. Brandon Cooks is going to be back, but he's going to stretch the field. Who? I mean, I know they got the forever old Randall Cobb still there. But looking at his contract, I'd have to go back and see when his dead cap falls off. He's probably not there for the long term. So is Moore a guy that you take in your rookie drafts and you're really looking at not this season but next season? If they get another quarterback back in a trade, if Deshaun Watson goes somewhere, these are just different landing spots where I think that these teams could need a guy that can fill that role to beat zone out of the slot underneath as a really good check down option.
What about the Patriots?
Can Elijah Moore catch passes? Then he should go to the Patriots. I mean, like, they have the worst. They have the worst. We talked about this during the other day, D-Bro. Like, they have the worst group of pass catchers I might have ever seen. Like, it's really bad.
I kind of think Jacoby Myers can play.
If he's your one, then it's not good.
Yeah, he shouldn't be your one.
No, he should not be your one. I want Elijah to end up in a spot where he could possibly walk into a volume role. Say, like, one guy goes down, one guy gets hurt. And do you have an Elijah Moore that's just walking into 7-8 targets on a weekly basis out of the slot, and he produces for you, and he produces earlier because of some of these depth charts and what these contracts look like in the next year or two? So, like, for me, it's not only just Elijah Moore, what he does in 2021. I want him to land with a spot where he's got upside to either hit down the stretch in 2021 or really walk into a really good role in 2022.
I agree with that. I think he definitely profiles as a guy who maybe doesn't start out of the gate, but once he gets that opportunity, just never gives it up.
Yeah, I like that. And especially makes a whole lot of sense when you're talking about somebody like Jamison Crowder. I mean, he was not just a ballyhooed guy, walked into volume, and basically whenever he was on the freaking field, even going back to Washington days, like whenever he's on the field, he's a guy that's garnered volume. It's just we haven't seen like immense stretches of like him actually staying on the field and being healthy. So
yeah, and it's because he gets open. Like it's not because he's like a guy you just scheme targets. So it's just he's open all the time, which is the case with Elijah Moore a lot we talk about. So that's why I think it's a really good comp too.
Yeah, I definitely like that. All right, Pat, before we get you out of here, man, what are you working on for ETR right now? I know you talked about your rankings are kind of simmering in the pot. You're about to put those out. What all do you got in the works?
Got veteran rankings that are just about to come out. Doing the Dynasty ranking update. Those will be veterans only. And then my rookie ranks will be out next week at Establish a Run. And then, as always, doing ship chasing every Wednesday at 9:15. That'll be with Mike Leone this week doing a best ball draft. We're going to draft live on YouTube. Every week, usually with Pete Overzet and Ben Gretsch, as we prepare for high stakes drafts, which are kind of closer than you think.
Yeah.
Almost into draft season here.
It's heating up, man, especially the more rookies we dive into, the closer we kind of inch towards the NFL draft. So, again, if you're not following Pat, do so on Twitter, at Pat Corain. And I are going to be talking more NFL draft prospects. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.